Save big on everything for your next staining project when you shop at Menards. Transform your home in one weekend with exterior stain and sealer from Dutch Boy. It provides one coat protection on decks, fences, siding, and outdoor furniture, and repels rain after just 4 hours of application. That means quicker results, saving you both time and money. Check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. My fact this week is that Andy Warhol would regularly have his wig cut by a barber and then return the following month wearing a new, longer wig.
Hello, we are No Such Thing as a Fish. We are a British podcast all about facts and trivia and everything interesting in the whole wide world.
We cover everything from pufferfish rectums to the moon to mangrove forest. What else do we do, James?
Oh, well, what about the fact that in 1936, a robot in California shot its inventor in the head?
There you go. If you're intrigued to hear more, peppered with some bad puns and some crude jokes, then check us out. We are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
What do you do when your neighbors make up stories about you to the HOA? And then the HOA refuses to believe you. Can you ever really escape that insanity?
Sometimes the people who reside just steps from your front door turn out to be the craziest you'll ever meet. Ever have a nightmare neighbor? Share your story now by calling 888-68-CRAZY or write in at nightmareneighbors.com. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
That it is. Please be sure to press subscribe at every platform it is you are listening to us on. And if you wouldn't mind, give us a review over there on Apple Podcasts. That'd be also very, very much appreciated. It helps us grow in the rankings and lets others know that we exist. If you want to share your Nightmare Neighbor story with us, 888-68-CRAZY is a number. Call it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Vent as it's happening if you want. It's completely up to you. Or NightmareNeighbors.com if you want to write in anonymously your Nightmare Neighbor story. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you on today's episode. And in addition to Carol, Carol's sister Kathy is with us on this episode. And if you listen to us on Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll know it's great when Kathy's on because she has amazing stories. And it turns out, in addition to ghost stories that she shares on that show, she has some Nightmare Neighbor stories too. So
I do. Yeah.
Well, and today Kathy was coming to town and I'm like, you know, I have to do a podcast. Do you want to do a podcast with me? And then I'm like, oh my God, you have the best Nightmare Neighbor story. Like, it's creepy. It's got all of the twists and turns to it.
I can't wait. I'm not even going to ask because you want to keep Nightmare Neighbor stories anonymous. So I'm not going to ask about timeline. I'm not going to ask about any of this. It just happened at some point in your life. We will put that. All right, great. Well, I can't wait to get to that. Let's jump to a listener story first, kind of keep everybody hanging. 888-68-CRAZY is the number if you want to call in. Or, of course, like I said, nightmareneighbors.com is our website. Go there and just type your story away, and we may use it on a future episode of the program. First letter says, I still currently live in the neighborhood that I will be referring to, so I will change any names I may mention. I live in an incredibly quiet tennis community that is half 55 and up and half young families. I was a bit skeptical moving in from out of state. My husband assured me it would be great, but I was concerned there was going to be a lot of uprightness, if you get what I'm saying. I've been very pleasantly surprised by it, though, and we've remained here for almost 7 years. Everyone is friendly, welcoming, and kind. Well, almost everyone. There are two separate neighbors here that rub everyone the wrong way. But I'll tell my most recent story about one of those neighbors and maybe save the other for a different story. For context, it's important to know that my husband owns and operates an after-school program for kids and works with kids, teenagers, and college students every day, all day, and has endless amounts of patience and understanding for the short attention span kids and sassy, rambunctious teenagers. He just does. It's a gift. Our neighbor, who I'm referring to, drives a silver SUV and has caused multiple families to move away because of his general meanness, false accusations, and off-putting nature. His name is Joe, but everyone around here calls him Crazy Joe. One night, my husband had to leave for work for a late training session. It was the dead of winter, already dark, maybe 7 at night, and snowing hard. He debated if it were safe to go, but we decided we had snow tires and thought it'd be fine. He promised to turn around if he decided the roads were too bad, so he took my silver SUV, which unfortunately looks remarkably like my pesky neighbor's, who was always causing trouble, since it was the one with snow tires, and left for work. I'd say 45, 55 minutes went by, and I get a knock on the front door. To my surprise, it's the police. They ask me if my husband is home, and I say no. He left for work not quite an hour ago. They proceeded to ask me if it's possible that he could have been involved in a road rage incident about 15 or 20 minutes prior. Cue my never-ending husband patience, remember? I say, no, I really don't think that's possible. He's very calm and rational. The officer asked me if we own a silver SUV, and I say, yes, but it's not here. My husband took it to work. Then they asked me if we own a metal snow shovel. No, we do not. Just a plastic Costco one. And I ask what this is all about. They tell me about 20 minutes ago, a group of teenagers accidentally slid through a stop sign in their car because of the heavy snowfall, and a man driving a silver SUV got out of his car with a metal shovel and started attacking their car with it, and then took it off, and then took off in a direction down the road. They asked to search my garage for a shovel. My dad was a police officer when I was a little girl, and I know full well I do not have to let them search my garage for a metal shovel. That will be nowhere to be found without a search warrant. But I decided to comply, knowing I have absolutely nothing to hide. Also, with mention of the silver SUV, the supposed attacker got out of my mind, immediately jumps to you-know-who, Crazy Joe. I invite them in and lead them to my garage, which they search. I explain to them that my husband works with teenagers every day and he's probably the last person on the planet to lose his patience and come at their car with a shovel, especially over something like sliding through a stop sign in the middle of a snowstorm. The officer says, well, the timeline does not match up and there's no metal shovel in your garage. I mentioned to him that generally when sketchy things happen involving a silver SUV, it's usually a certain neighbor to blame. The police officer says, first name Joseph? I say, well, around here he goes by Crazy Joe. So the cop knew exactly who I was talking about. I'm guessing they paid Crazy Joe a visit next. Before that day, I hadn't fully experienced much of the craziness his name so earned him for myself. But after that, I sure understood and made it a point to steer clear of him and do not participate when he tries to engage in conversation. He's the kind of neighbor that yells at my kids for riding their bikes on the sidewalk past his house because they're too close to his grass and sues the HOA for only God knows why. I cannot roll my eyes hard enough. Every person in our neighborhood has a Crazy Joe encounter story, and I'm sure for as long as he's here, the encounters will continue. There you go. The tale of Crazy Joe in Utah.
I'm surprised that wasn't from your old neighborhood.
It kind of sounded like it a little bit. And in my mind, that's kind of the setting I was picturing as I was reading. But
that's what I was thinking too.
Yeah.
It's so weird how one person or one family can disrupt the entire neighborhood. Like, what the hell?
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, that's what HOAs are there for. When you're amongst many houses, I used to hate HOAs because it's more money that you have to pay someone. But then if you actually have one that enforces things, it makes sense. Now, I have yet to meet this magical HOA that enforces things. But in theory, in theory, it's a step. It's a step above. It's an extra piece of security, I guess I should say, not a step above, but an extra piece of security if you have neighbors that are acting like that. Unfortunately. They don't. I've had to go to an HOA and say, hey, could we try and enforce this? Because it's on all your codes over here and I pay you every month. And they're like, well, it's someone tried that in this other state and the HOA lost. So we.
Exactly.
It's like every.
That's the problem. And then these people own their homes.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a rogue person.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can legally enforce some of the things.
No.
Like, yeah, Joe's a dick, but can you make him move? Can you make him be nice? Because he's paying his HOA dues? I don't know. Probably not.
It's one of those things where it's they rely on most people. And like, you know, I don't know what the percentage is anymore of, I guess, sane individuals. But whatever it is, they rely on that. The people who are going to read the rules and go, okay, I will follow these rules. Even though I know if I wanted to fight them in court, I could win. I really don't care. I just want to keep the peace and I'll follow these rules.
Yeah.
And then you have all the other ones that are like, fuck the rules. I'm going to sue. Go ahead. Sue me, dicks. You know, and they set fences
AKA
on fire.
Joe.
Yeah. Joe, they set fences on fire. They, you know,
your ex-neighbors,
they drive golf carts drunk and harass people. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's all those folks, but the second you bring that stuff up, no kidding here. This is kind of interesting because I actually have a recent HOA interaction. It wasn't my last neighborhood. It was right before I left, and I was complaining about the drunk golf carters that came and harassed us after we pointed out that they were urinating on a tree right by our house.
It should be against the rules.
It is. It's the middle of the day. I mean, it's not like it was, you know, 11:30 at night or something. There's kids playing everywhere. And anyway, and then they came and harassed us and told us to fuck off and they couldn't wait till we leave. And it was great. Anyway, I sent a letter just expressing what happened. Just so you're aware, no response, nothing at all. And I sent another one saying, I really appreciate your response and care for this concern of mine. I said, I can't wait to get the fuck out of your community. And still, obviously, no response. But it's just, I fucking paid. I didn't even want to say. It was the most egregious HOA fee I've ever had in my life.
That's like, I
monthly.
Wanted to ask that. But I mean, it's not cheap neighborhood, really, in HOA, is
no.
it?
No,
I
it's mean, not. And I'm not going to say
a few hundred bucks a month, right?
What's that?
I mean, at least a few hundred bucks a month for a cheap one.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, definitely. And it was, I mean, there was a lot of nice amenities and stuff that you got with the neighborhood, but nobody enforcing the sanity part of it. You know, it's like, hey, you can go over.
I don't know if you can enforce that. Like, sorry, Bob, you're acting crazy. You got to quit.
That's
you
the
know?
Thing.
No, somebody's acting batshit crazy isn't going to quit because HOA called him.
Well, yeah, but if they're doing it like, and it's destructing property or they're just not like I've lived in neighborhoods where they just gave up on mowing lawns altogether. And it's just like, what the hell is going on here? And then, you know, all cars in the driveway in the yard and this and that. I'm like, what is, you call the HOA? They're like, well, I swear to God, it was like everything you cited, they would tell you, well, we can't fight that because it's like, then why are we giving you money? I mean, no matter how minuscule the amount may be, it's
just so our houses can be all painted.
Yeah.
It's the colors like, you want them to be painted.
And even that wasn't enforced. It's like you don't. it's like you have a someone who's watching the children, but they decided to put earplugs in and blindfold themselves in the closet and they're not going to do anything. So, yeah, it was HOAs are fun.
Sounds like a great opportunity for embezzlement.
I like the theory.
Where does the money go?
I like the theory. Like,
there are rules. You follow the rules.
Exactly.
Like, you know, like I was just in Amsterdam over Christmas. They have rules.
Yeah.
And everybody follows the rules.
Sure.
Right? And, you know, I'm not from there, and I would maybe kind of do something like walking on the sidewalk going the wrong way, because they literally, this side of the sidewalk goes this way, this side of the sidewalk goes the other way, and if you think about it, it makes perfect sense, right? Yeah. You know, but I was going the wrong way, and I was, oh no, and I broke the rules. And this guy walks up to me, he goes, he could tell I was kind of devastated. He goes, it is okay, you are not from here, you would not know. And I They have rules.
Yeah.
You follow the rule.
It's these social norms that really have worked for quite some time. And it's like, it's the golden rule is really what it is. I mean, but then you have sidewalk rules too, but really more than anything else, it's just that. And that's where, you know, we have so much breakdown of everything. But wow, that's interesting to hear. And that I love to hear the kindness of the stranger to the person in a different country.
So sweet.
That's cool. Like,
you would not know. You're not from here.
Well, speaking of kindness and wonderful people, I heard that you used to have a neighbor that was just the shining example of a star citizen.
Well, okay. This has been quite a while ago now. There was, in the town I was living at the time, my husband and I, who I don't have any more either. That was, you know, but anyway, we decided to build a new house in a kind of a new subdivision outside of town that they were putting together. And it had a big circle in the middle, and like, it was, the lots were big. Like, I think we owned 4 acres, you know, and we had 2 of the lots. So they were 2-acre lots. I mean, it was good size outside of town, just a mile or so. And one of the people who was a builder there, he was doing spec homes, and his girlfriend's family had quite a bit of money, and they were kind of investing in him, and he was building these homes, and they would sell them. And so he'd done 3 or 4 of the homes out there, and we bought a lot, and I think he just assumed we were going to, you know, hire him to build our house, because he'd built, I think, pretty much all of them that were there. And he, you know, he was the kind of guy, like, he's using they weren't exactly his in-laws because they weren't married, but he's using their money to do all this. And one of the biggest houses that he built out there, he just never really could sell. So he was living there, you know, it was kind of one of those deals where, you know, he just built himself a nice big house off of everybody else's money, you know? And so he and the girlfriend were living there, and they had a little girl, and they were living in this big house. And so we decided to build out there. And he just gave me the creeps, this guy. And he put a bid to do it. And we looked through the stuff. And I said, we even looked through some of the houses he built. And I just didn't even feel like the quality was that good. And he just bothered me, you know. And so we ended up going with a different builder. And it made him mad. He, you know, wouldn't talk to us for a long time. He'd drive by, go into another site out there, and wouldn't wave or look at us or whatever, you know, and kind of gave us the cold shoulder and whatever. The big house he built was behind ours, but like I said, a big lot. Sure. So there was kind of a big field between us. And while we're building the house, you know, things just started kind of happening. There was some, I remember one time they dug the garage, the basement, and we just poured the basement, and we had a regular basement in there. We just hadn't had anything finished in it. And we came back the next day, and somebody had like taken a couple hoses and put them down in the windows and flooded the basement, turned on all the water and flooded the basement. And, you know, we just kept running into things that, you know, had been vandalized. Yeah. And the one that bothered me the most was this one day I came in and we had just put in these cherry cabinets.
And lots of them.
Yeah. Lots of cherry cabinets. And somebody, and I walked in, and there were these huge X's that were just scraped into. It was like somebody took, like, literally the best I could say would be like a really big screwdriver and dug X's into the front of all the cabinets.
Oh, God, wow.
You know, and so, of course, that all had to be replaced. And, you know, it was like that kind of stuff where we just kept having these things happen. And, you know, I kept thinking, you know, I think, you know, it could be him. You know, he was creepy and, you know, he had a bad drinking problem and he'd been in some trouble around. And I thought, you know, it would be just like him to get drunk and, yeah. you know, do this kind of thing.
Who
you know,
else is going to do that?
So whatever, we finally get the house built and, you know, he's still, you know, I mean, he kind of would talk to us, but, you know, not that much anyway. And so one night I was going out for a walk, you know, getting my walk in, and they had the big circle around, and I would walk outside of my house, walk around the circle. And if I did it four times, it was a mile. Mm-hmm. So I start walking out and I go around the house, which takes me out all the way around and around the front of their house and back to ours. And I do this four times. And it's really windy that night. I just remember just so windy that you just, you know, one of those really loud winds, you know. And I come home and I yell at my daughter, who was pretty little at the time, that, you know, time for a bath. And I start running the tub. And my husband walked in and he said, "Did you see anything happen over at so-and-so's house?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "There are all kinds of police cars over there." And I said, "Well, I was just there. Like, I mean, I just walked past it like four times." Mm-hmm. And he goes, "I don't know what's going on," but he said, "There's like all kinds of ambulances and police cars and the sheriff and highway patrol." And like, it's crazy. So I go look and it's just covered with police. And I'm like, what is going on? Well, after a while, we get some news that I think one of the other neighbors came over and said that his girlfriend that he was living with had been shot and was dead. Mm-hmm. And I was like, when? Like, I mean, I was just there. Like, I was just walking past there. And so after a while, they the KBI came in to talk to us, and they wanted to know what I'd seen and what was going on. And I said, "Well," they said, "did you see his truck there?" And I was like, "Yeah, like four times. Every time I walked by, it was there. You know, it was sitting in the driveway every single time." And so apparently, there had been some threats that things were not going to go well and she was going to leave. And that, I think, would kind of end things for him. And so what they think happened, and of course, it was a trial and, you know, first degree murder. But, you know, he said that they got in a fight and the gun went off. But I think she'd been shot like in the back of the head.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, so like he'd walked up behind her and done it. So it was, so anyway, there was a big trial and I had to go testify mm-hmm. in this trial. And, you know, it's the weird, testifying in a murder trial is a very strange thing. And of course, you can't talk to anybody and they put you in a room. And I think I was there from 8 o'clock in the morning till like 4 o'clock in the afternoon before they finally called me in. But you can't sit or talk to any of the other witnesses or anybody. Mm-hmm. And so you just have to be, so I was just isolated and alone all day. And so I went in, testified, and it's weird because, you know, I didn't really even have anything huge to say, except I put his truck there at the time.
Yeah.
And that he was there. And I always think of people that have a lot more information, how nerve-wracking it would be to be up there, because I get up there and they cross-examine, like, "Are you sure? Are you positively sure? Are you sure?" And I'm like, pretty soon I'm going, "Well, maybe I'm not. Like, did I?" Like, you know, like, you know, and it's very strange. But I was, no, I did. Well, he was convicted, went to prison. And a few years later, he files an appeal. And so on some technicality, he gets a new trial. And they moved it to another town, and I had to go there, and they put me in a room again to sit there. And this is maybe 4 years later or five. And so they call me in, and I get up there, and I'll never forget this. I go to stand, and I, you know, you have to put your arm up in the air and swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, whatever. And then I sat down, and I looked over, and he's sitting there. Now, I haven't seen him for 4 or 5 years, right? He looks at me and he waves and mouths, "Hi, Kathy," like that. Like, I thought I would die. Like, I mean, I could hardly even contain it. He's like, hi, Kathy. Like, it was the strangest thing ever. Anyway, he is back in prison.
Friends.
No, we're not friends. No, we're not friends. No, I am testifying against you.
My
I
God.
Saw Chuck, remember? Anyway,
yeah,
but
we used to be neighbors.
So, but we, you know, we always assumed it was him that did all that stuff to our house. Mm-hmm. Probably, but you know, we don't really know for sure. But, you know, yeah. he's still in prison.
Wow.
I think Kathy should win an award. For the best,
that's
worst
bad
nightmare neighbor.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
We need an award.
That is one of the best.
The worst thing about this whole thing is they think the little girl was there.
Yeah, they had a daughter.
That little girl was
at the house at the time.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
But, and this is nothing like this was all in court.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying anything that wasn't, you know, testified to in court.
Yeah. But, well, got to love those neighbors. That's, yeah.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
It reminds me of the scene on Breaking Bad where this is in the last season. Walter shows up at the remnants of his old house that's burned out and barricaded with a fence and bearded and looking very scraggly. And then his neighbor is taking groceries out of the car, sees him, and he just looks at her and goes, hi, Kathy. And then she drops the bag of groceries and just like, holy shit. Yeah.
very similar.
Yeah, wow, that's a great one.
Yeah, like we were buddies, you know, like, oh, he was so happy to see me.
Some people,
dude, you're the one that was terrorizing us when we were building the house. I don't like you. And then you murdered your girlfriend.
You know, it makes you wonder though, was he doing that hi Kathy thing in a way that was mockingly, or was it just he's just utterly disconnected from social norms of any sort? And I'm
going with the second one.
Okay.
I mean, I literally, the way his face looked was like he was genuinely happy to see someone he used to know.
Yeah.
You know, he'd been in prison for 5 years or whatever. And
sure.
Hey, Kathy's here. You know, I mean, it was really kind of like that. And yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think you see some of that in, you know, especially in folks that do shit like that, because it's you go and look at like they seem so convinced, and the rest of us, you know, we couldn't do that, and nor could we commit the crime that is being committed either. But then you kind of put two and two together, and it's like, oh, they're really not connecting those dots at all, and that's why, you know, it kind of leads to, well, that's why they were able to do what they did.
And I honestly think that he really had a bad drinking problem. Yeah. I think he was probably drinking, and I think everything was collapsing in. Yeah. I think they pretty much said no more money. They were pulling the plug on him, and I think the girlfriend was going to leave him, and you know,
just not a great situation all around. 888-68-CRAZY is our phone number here at the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Let's go to one other letter here we have today. It says, I lived in the same apartment complex for the last 13 years. I moved apartments in 2016 for remodeling, which is good because I got away from a different neighbor who smoked. The place got sold in 2017 and they wanted to remodel again for some stupid reason. So I moved back to my old apartment in 2019. My new downstairs neighbors are by far the worst neighbors I've ever had. They're a husband and wife. I'm somewhat sensitive to sound. When I first moved here, they'd run their very loud bathroom fan for 1 to 2 hours, starting around 5 a.m. I left them a note asking them to please stop running it so early and for so long because it would wake me up and keep me up. They had it replaced with a quieter fan and stopped running it so early for a while. Then they started doing it again and it would still wake me up. I complained to management and they stopped for a while, but they started doing it again. Earplugs do not block out the noise. Almost every day, they'll get drunk, start yelling and arguing with each other, slamming doors, sometimes exceedingly early in the morning. Their roommate moved out because they would yell and cuss at her. They have a sound system with a subwoofer that they have very loud during the day, which shakes the floor. During the night, they put it on night mode, but I can still hear the subwoofer because of the bass reverberating through the walls and the floor late at night and early in the morning. Their stupid dog will bark at me if I walk by their apartment. They're also very loud talkers. The kicker is one time There were some kids playing outside during the afternoon, and the husband came out and asked them to be quiet because their wife was trying to sleep. I have asthma, and they're smokers. I cannot leave my windows open, or my apartment will be filled with smoke. I have also had smoke somehow come into my room and wake me up by irritating my nose and mouth, even in the middle of the night, even though all outside doors and windows are closed. I had also a glut of a lungful of smoke when I was going to the bathroom. They will also grill on their patio, so I get that smoke too. The husband sounds like he's always coughing up a lung. Also, I think the wife is a nurse. So a great example she's setting. And number three on the list of issues, for some reason, bugs really like my blood. I track in fleas from their dog. Even if I vacuum spray the place down, wash all bedding, clothes, etc., the fleas will return in just a couple of days. They were whining about there not being enough parking spaces and maintenance guy, even though it seems like they never park in their assigned space to begin with, just in all of the guest spaces. Man, I really need to move. So it's apartment living at its finest. And I think any of us who've lived in apartments for any stretch of time can go, yep, been there. Maybe not all at once, but I think spanned out quite often.
Well, and you and I have talked about that with ghost stories or, you know, horrible neighbors, like, you got to move. But then after just moving, like, that's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, that's a lot to move. And, you know, it's just a shame. And it's like these people just don't have any regard.
No. And there's
like, they're the only ones there.
And the thing is, you would think when it comes to things like an apartment complex or something, that would be a lot easier to have corrected than a neighborhood where people own their homes. But crazily enough, half the time the landlords don't want to say no to the rent. So they just kind of like, well, you guys work it out, or we'll send them a letter. And it's easier to do that. As long as those people are paying rent, they're not getting kicked out. I think that's pretty much how it works in most cases, unless it gets, you know, dangerously, ridiculously or dangerous to the building itself.
That's just messed up.
Yep. Good times.
But that person has my sympathy, because that really sucks.
It does. And if it makes them feel any better, I hate them too.
We hate that person's
neighbors.
They're evil people. Yeah, I get it. I mean, it's just, I've been there, done that. That's going to wrap up today's episode of the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. If you have a story, share it with us, 888-68-CRAZY or nightmareneighbors.com. Big thanks to Kathy for joining us on today's episode. For Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Hope everybody is doing their best right now as we're going through this crazy time in our world. I'm Tony Bruschi, host of Real Ghost Stories Online. Wanted to invite you and let you know about our other brand new podcast that we just launched, Help Kill the Time for You. It's called The Dark Side of Wikipedia. It's about true crime and dark history. We dive into some of the strangest, most disturbed minds and experiences from our history, and examine their story, their Wikipedia entry, and then discuss the cases, the individuals, and the psychology of the events as we go through each and every story. Some of our first episodes include Ed Gein, the BTK killer, the New London School explosion, Amityville murders, Richard Speck, Amelia Dyer, the General Slocum disaster, Jeffrey Dahmer, and more. New episodes every single week. Check out Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search it. Subscribe wherever you download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. It's available now with new episodes every single week. Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search and subscribe today. and stay safe out there.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds.
With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time
for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it. That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds.
With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold.
Switch to Progressive and you could save
big time
for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds.
With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold.
Switch to Progressive and you could save
big time
for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds.
With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold.
Switch to Progressive and you could save
big time
for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds.
With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold.
Switch to Progressive and you could save
big time
for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
My fact this week is that Andy Warhol would regularly have his wig cut by a barber and then return the following month wearing a new, longer wig.
Hello, we are No Such Thing as a Fish. We are a British podcast all about facts and trivia and everything interesting in the whole wide world.
We cover everything from pufferfish rectums to the moon to mangrove forest. What else do we do, James?
Oh, well, what about the fact that in 1936, a robot in California shot its inventor in the head?
There you go. If you're intrigued to hear more, peppered with some bad puns and some crude jokes, then check us out. We are No Such Thing as a Fish.